I teach in the sociology department at UC. I'm Elena's dissertation chair, and I think she did a wonderful job. My job is to talk a little bit, sort of in keeping with what Elena had to say, just offer a few thoughts on a much larger and maybe more academic way of thinking about urban development. One thing to think about is that you can think of land and buildings as not that different from any other sort of consumer commodity that is out there. So basketball shoes, dishwashers, cars. But the difference with land, there's two main differences. One is that you can't make any more of it. And the second is that it only has value based on the particular place that it's in. So it's not movable. Right? You can't make more of it and you can't move it. You can take a car, and if there's more demand for Mercedes in one part of the country, you can ship more Mercedes that way, right? If there's more demand for basketball shoes somewhere else, you can move it over there. But land, particular places and areas or tracts of land are not movable. They're fixed in space. And so the only way that you can realize or gain income, what political economy professors would call exchange value, the only way you can reap exchange value from land is if you change it, right? If you develop it. And so what you get then is the question of, well, which is the land that's being developed and which is the land that's not? And so what I invite you all to think about is, we often think about, I always tell my students, whenever you're thinking about the goodness or badness of something, you always have to ask the question, in relation to what? And so if we think about gentrification and OTR as something we're a little concerned about, you might ask the question, compared to what? Compared to the way OTR used to be? That's one comparison we can make, and I think we all kind of have that in mind. But another thing to think about is, well, what about compared to Avondale? Right? Or what about compared to other poor neighborhoods in Cincinnati that have no development or not a whole lot of development happening? And so there you see that gentrification may or may not be, I'm not here to talk about whether or not it's good or bad, but only to think about what are the things that are driving development in one part of the city versus another. I also think about this a lot when I drive out in the outskirts of any city, and I noticed, I was telling Jen, I think, on a couple days ago, that I drove to around Chicago recently, and Ryland Homes is still building homes in the middle of cornfields, right? So there's still money to be extracted out of cornfields. The difference is that we're not as concerned about corn being displaced as we are about people being displaced, right? So these are all part of the same basic way in which capital is trying to extract money out of land. And so when you start thinking about that, it starts leading you to think about what are the ways in which we can ask capital and government and all of these actors to develop in a more even and responsible way so that you don't get some neighborhoods completely ignored by capital and other neighborhoods not ignored enough by capital, right? There's this balance that we need to strike. And so I think that it's important to think about broader ways in which urban space is used, both within a city, but also, somebody mentioned suburbanites out here, the broader ways in which land in cities and land in suburbs is being developed. Thank you.
Thank you.